would, yeah, you would. Love you too, bro.
Yes, sir.
Sing a verse of Just As I Am. Just as I am, without one plea, my God, thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to
you, Brother Gary.
I love you, Brother Darrell.
Thank you for that wonderful prayer. So good to be alive in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a wonderful life that we have. You know, yesterday we were up at Marlboro Cedar Creek Church, and Annell reminded me that they had requested prayer for those young ones in the cave in Thailand. And just after that, they brought a couple of them out. Prayer is a very powerful force.
Amen.
We could say in our fleshly minds that all they would have come out anyway. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm sure there were prayers from all over the world pouring in for those young innocent ones. The scriptures tell us to pray believing. If you're praying just from the flesh, it's not going to work. We have to pray believing. You know, as I took off from the church yesterday afternoon, we had a wonderful meeting, had several very good sermons. The fellowship was wonderful. Well, I put my Bible on top of my car and I took off. And I could just imagine it up there flying and tearing. So I pretty much scattered the word up there, so to speak. But I was a little disgruntled when I got home. And I was frowning, I guess, and walking around and saying, oh, I forgot my Bible. Not like there's not millions more out there. But my son says, that's not all you left up at church, was that Bible. You know, he was just kind of pulling my leg and kind of letting me know that it's...
Gotcha.
So much different the way that we think in our lives, and how much that we can think upon the good things rather than those other things. So I've got a Bible here now that's got large enough print that I can read it. I don't have that little print Bible anymore. So anyway, there's always, as God says, I have put before thee a blessing and a curse. There's always good things if we think of it that way. You know, as I was thinking yesterday and this morning about what I might be able to say, as I knew that Brother Gary would probably ask me to say something, and I got to thinking about the 37th chapter of Psalms. 37th Psalm. And it says so much to us. Actually, three different times in this psalm, it says, fret not. That's two big words. Fret not. The first verse says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now that evildoers depends on what situation you're in. That could be the IRS, I guess. But evildoers, those that do evil. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
That is such a magnificent verse that we can follow, write it down, stick it in our pocket, and remind ourselves each and every day that we walk to trust in the Lord. And do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We are hungry for the good things. God, from all goodness, comes from God above. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He's not going to give you a brand new Cadillac because you want it. That's not what He's talking about. The desires of thine heart, He gives you the desire for the good things that He put out there. He gave you the desire to draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to you. God is a wonderful God.
Amen.
And He is effective and works in your heart each and every day. It's not just all about that eternal kingdom in heaven that we go to, which is going to be a wonderful thing, but there is a kingdom of heaven which is here on this earth. The kingdom of heaven, not heaven. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is what the Scriptures tell us.
Amen.
That's a wonderful place. It makes me feel so good to come here together with those that I have grown to love so much and share the good things of God.
Amen.
We have a wonderful, good God, and He loves us with an everlasting love. It says, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Do you believe if you trust in God, if you commune with God in prayer, if you ask Him for things, that He could make that happen? That He can give things to you? Any man that come to God must believe that He is.
Exactly.
And that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Do you trust in the Lord? Do you really believe that God is God? God is God. How wonderful is that?
Right.
Excuse me. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Have you ever stumbled around grumpy and grouchy in the darkness of the day, and then all of a sudden God, Jesus and God will manifest Himself to you and you see the light?
Right.
He has brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You look at things completely different. I'm going to try not to leave whatever I left.
Right.
That church, I'm going to try to bring it with me.
That's right.
As we walk out that door, we must let our light shine, as our brother prayed. Jesus Christ told us, I am the light of the world. Another place He says, ye are the light of the world. How does that happen? It's Christ in you. Ye are the light of the world. Let that light shine. Look at the good things. See all the wondrous beauty that He's given us. All the wonderful family and friends that we love so dearly. Excuse me. Then He says, rest in the Lord. I want some of that rest, brothers and sisters. We don't need to continue in fretting and worrying about the little things. when there are good things that we can keep on our minds. What is that? Who is that that keeps drawing us down? That's the flesh, brothers and sisters.
Exactly.
He has put within us a perfectness. Inside of you is a perfectness. The seed of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, lifts you above all other things. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In this world you shall have tribulation. We see it all around us. But be of good cheer, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It's all from Jesus Christ. He's our all in all. Rest in the Lord. Oh, how I love the rest in the Lord. This old world can beat you up, brothers and sisters. If you don't have that friend that's close to you, that holds your hand as we walk in this life, that we can draw nigh to, and He draw nigh to you, it's a precious, precious thing. It's everything to us. And yet we veer away, don't we? Yet we veer away. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Be still and know that I am God is a verse that I think is one of my favorites. Is there, if there is a favorite?
Yeah, gotcha.
Be still and know that I am God.
Right.
When everything around you can be folding, there can be death and devastation everywhere, but if you can be still and know that God's in charge, it's going to settle you and strengthen you.
Amen.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath.
Yeah.
Do we, any of us, have any problem with that? With anger or wrath? James says, my dear brothers, things ought not to be.
Exactly.
The things that we say from time to time. Or the anger or the wrath that we see. Be still and know that I am God. He has reserved judgment unto Himself. We are not to judge. We're to judge righteously. But we're not to judge one another. We're not to judge those things that others do. Thou art inexcusable, O man, that judgeth another and doest the same things. There's an S on that. You don't have to do exactly the same thing. The same things we're guilty of, and yet we point the finger.
Yeah.
That old finger, I'll guarantee you, the more you point that finger, the more that thing starts turning back around and points right here. It does. We have to work on ourselves. We can't work or change anyone else. That battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
It's not ours. That's what David said as he came up against that Philistine giant. The battle is the Lord's. Him and his little rock to hit that Goliath and knock him down, that battle was of the Lord.
Amen.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. I want to inherit the earth. What is inherit the earth? The earth is right here. That's your heart. You inherit the good things from God above. Makes you swell up. This is the vessel here that God lives in. It is God that worketh in you to will and do of His good pleasure. Why do you think you have good thoughts? It's because of God. not because of yourself. We think evil continually in the flesh. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Where do you experience peace in your soul? It's given from God. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord uphold the righteous. We need to walk in the way that He's explained it to us and shown us. If you love me, keep my commandments, is what Jesus says. And God will manifest Himself to us. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil times, and the days of famine they shall be satisfied. They shall be satisfied. Can you imagine being satisfied in a famine? If you're close to the Lord, you'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied with whatever you have, because the Lord will see to it that He has given you the desires of your heart. You no longer have those desires for material things. He gives you the desires of your heart. The things that are priceless above rubies. Priceless above things of this earth. The good things in life. That wonderful and wondrous love of God that we can concentrate on and think upon in any situation. There is no one that can snatch us out of His hands when we're there being comforted by the God of all comfort. That's where it all comes from. If we want comfort, if we want goodness, if we want an abundant life, we're going to have it from God above. All good things proceed from God above. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
So good to be here with you. God bless you. Thank you for all your good attention. And I'd like to say, Brother Gary has been a real inspiration to me since I've been here. So have each and every one of you. Because you love God, and it's very evident that I see it in your eyes. That makes me feel good. When we pray, we don't pray for ourselves. We pray for our brothers and sisters. That's when we are lifted up. When we pray for another. Thank you for your time and your good attention.
Love you, my brother. God bless you.
Good thing. Always happy when Brother Darrell's coming. And I feel the Lord certainly blessed him this morning. Wonderful prayer that was offered. Though Brother London didn't speak, he sure spoke to me in that prayer as he shared with the Lord the feelings of his heart and expressed the feelings of my heart, and we're thankful for that. Had many passages of scripture on my mind. Many of the thoughts that I had already this morning had already been expressed by Brother Darrell, which also made me feel good about my thoughts and feel like the Lord was certainly in the matter. And it's wonderful when we trust in the Lord how He just takes care of a service. He takes care of all parts of it. And what a blessing it is that the Lord has given us His church, a place where we can come out of this old world for a season and gather together with a portion of the Lord's people and just focus on worshiping the Lord, feeding from His Word, and learning from His Word the things that we stand in need of knowing. If it was left up to us, we wouldn't have this. Without Him, we can't do anything. But with Him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so that's where we're looking today. I'm praying that He'll bless me with some thoughts to share with you. I've had some good thoughts before I got to church, and Sometimes as a minister, you kind of see something and you go, oh, I wish I was at church right now. I could talk about that. And when you get to church and try to talk about it, it's not fresh. You know, it's like bread that you have baked that's real good when you first bake it, but you leave it there for a little while and gets that stale bread just doesn't have the same flavor, the same taste. I remember one brother talking about the Krispy Kreme donuts and didn't know much about what he was talking about until you get one of those real fresh Krispy Kreme donuts and you realize how much better that is than the ones you open up from the store in a box. You know, it's just that freshness. Now, that application certainly applies spiritually to us. The things that the Lord brings to us when we have a freshness, when it comes like we're just hearing it for the first time, like it's a word in season. It's a word that comes from the Lord. It's not just something you've heard and you've sung and you've read about a whole lot, but it becomes very, very real to us. That's what we need when we meet. It's not only what we need when we meet, it's what you need to take with us too when we leave. We need to keep that freshness in our life with the closeness and the realness of the Lord. I have a passage of scripture I want to read in your hearing found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Just pray the Lord would bless us, that we'll be seeing these things just like we saw them for the first time, and that we might have that first love towards God and feel the closeness that we so much need today. I'd like to begin reading at verse 15 of the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I believe today we have sat, in a sense, at the supper, that we've been able to sit and feed from the Word of God, the things that the Lord has prepared and made ready for us, and that by the grace of God, we've been allowed the sweet privilege of having eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and a heart to understand it. Things that are hidden from the world that the natural man cannot see and will not see, that the Lord has allowed us to have and enjoy today. I believe the Bible teaches, and know that it does, that Jesus said to Peter and to the rest of the disciples, Upon this rock, thou Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Over in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. And I believe that wisdom is to be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is our wisdom. And everything that we have today in the Lord's church has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It is His church. We didn't get together and say, okay, what do we need in it? What do we need to leave out of it? The Lord has delivered it down to us. He came and established it. He said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He included, given in His Word, His direction, everything that's necessary in His church, all that we need, He has already prepared and given to us. Today, I believe we have come, and I'm not saying by any means we've done it perfectly, because we are imperfect creatures and no one does it perfectly, but by the very best of our ability, we've tried to come and we've tried to sing praises unto the Lord. We've offered prayer, looked to the Lord, and asked His blessing upon our meeting. We've had brethren come before us, and I'm doing that now, opening the Bible, which is the light, the lamp and the light that the Lord has left for us here in this world that we are to declare to God's little children. And we're sharing that with God's little children so that they might have something to feed on, to nourish them spiritually, so that they would be able to go out into this world and take the name of Jesus with you. And that of all the things that are most important in our life, and I say there are many things that are important, I hope we all understand today there's nothing more important than our fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Nothing more important in this world. And this lesson is here for us to know that as God's little children. A certain man made a great supper. Well, we could talk about that a long time. The verse before it, one spoke out. Whether he did it ignorantly, the Bible doesn't say. We know there were a lot of people mixed up about who the Messiah was and what he was about to do. They didn't understand that the kingdom he was about to bring into existence, that the kingdom that John came saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. There were those who were looking for a literal material kingdom to be brought into place, a natural kingdom, if you would. And that is not what the Lord brought. He brought His spiritual kingdom and He established it here in this world. The kingdom of heaven has been built and established by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And we are blessed today. He said, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I'm glad we don't have to die to start doing that. I believe one day we'll enjoy that complete. I don't think he's talking about natural bread here. I don't believe he's talking about the natural things. I don't know how much we'll eat up in heaven naturally. I know I enjoy natural food down here. It's been a real blessing to have. But I'll tell you, if I only had the natural things, I would have missed. It would all be meaningless. Today, I've been able to sit right there on that bench and hear words that I knew were needed come to me, and I also knew some of the situations in this congregation that Brother Darrell doesn't have a clue about. I'm not saying he just doesn't have the knowledge of it. It's not that he doesn't know about things, but he doesn't know what you actually needed. But I've known some things that were needed, and he spoke them to you just like he knew all about your situation. That is because the bread didn't come from Brother Darrell. Brother Dale didn't write the scripture, he just spoke the scripture. The scripture speaks to each of us as the Holy Spirit takes it, and the righteousness of God in the preaching of the gospel is revealed from faith to faith. Brother Dale, trusting in the Lord, depending upon the Lord, by the faith that God had given him, was able to speak to you in a way of instruction, much of which, if I had been the one here saying it, some of you might have said, well, Brother Gary must be preaching to me right now. You ever been there and said, well, the preacher knows my situation, he's just talking to me. And rather than being a word in season, sometimes it can work the other way. Because you think, well, he's just picking on me. And the old, you know what does that? The old flesh. The flesh in us does that. Not only is the flesh there to do that, there is an enemy, an adversary, that is going about as much as he can to try to destroy the lives of God's children. And he works on the flesh. And when we're operating in the flesh, he comes and fills our mind saying, yep, what your flesh is telling you is right. That old fellow has been a liar from the beginning, and he continues to lie, and he tries to rob God's little children. But here's the good news. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Lord has come and taken his abode up in your heart. And he has also prepared a great supper for you as his children. And I'm here to tell you, it's supper time. I didn't make the supper. He did. I didn't die for you on the cross. He did. I didn't love you before the foundation of the world. He did. I didn't send my son to die for you. God the Father did that. I didn't come and die for you. God the Son did that. I didn't make you aware of that. God the Holy Spirit does that in your heart in the new birth.
I am simply a messenger to tell you about the king and what the king has said, what the Lord has said, and that is, it's supper time. It's time for us to get our eyes off this world and remember who is God, that you and I might sit down at His table and feed on His Word. And it changes your whole life. Hear me, little child of grace. The world can't hear me. The world doesn't want to hear me. But God's little children, His elect, and there are many of them out of every nation and kindred and tongue, not only can hear me, they need to hear me. They need to hear this Word. They need to follow this Word. They need to take up their cross and follow the Lord. They need to understand that whatever the cost is, and here's the good news, it's free in one sense, but it costs you everything in another sense. You say, well, you mixed up, preacher. How can it be free and cost you everything? I'm telling you, what you got right now is nothing. That's the offense of the gospel. Your righteousness is not good enough. I don't care how good you're trying to get, how good you're trying to be. Even when you on your very best day, your righteousness is but as filthy rags. And if you have to stand before God and say, okay, God, I've been good enough. I've tried to live right. I'm going to get to heaven because of that. Or I'm going to be able to talk to Thee because of that. Or I'm going to feel like You're with me because I've been good enough. You will never feel it. You will never feel His presence. He will not share that with you. Because that gives you the glory, or me the glory, and to God be the glory. Y'all believe that, don't you? Then let's not trust in us. Why would we trust in us when we're nothing but a mess? And you say, well, I might be a mess, but what about other people? Maybe somebody else out there. You can read over in Isaiah chapter 30, and it'll tell you, for those of God's little children who act disobedient and trust in Egypt and go seek counsel, but it's not counsel from the Lord, and seek to have relief of their problems, but not going to the Lord, and turn to this world for their help. And listen, the Lord may provide from the world much help to you, but you go to God first and He'll provide the help. If you go to the world first, you're going to find yourself, just like that chapter says, just taking all your riches and just giving it to them. And coming away empty. Most of us have already experienced enough of that. Have you? Have you been there thinking, I'll feel better if I do this, and you do it? You have a little pleasure in sin for a season, but it's just a short while, and it just makes you sick in your heart. You know why you get sick in your heart? You know why you can't do all those things it seems like the world can do? You know why you can't have the good time everybody else is having and just get along in this world? Because you've been made different by the power of Almighty God. He has worked in you and made you alive and given you life and given you the ability to see that there's a supper time. There's a place I'm longing for one day to be with God in glory, but there's a place right here He's put in this world for me. A secret place in His fellowship, sweet fellowship with God. Listen, if I've got everything else going good in my life, this week I've been battling, I've talked about it a little bit, I've been battling with painters coming into my house, painting my house, and I've been trying to be satisfied with everything they've done. You know how much you'll get satisfied with that kind of stuff? The more you look at it, the more you're going to find wrong with it. The best thing to do is not look at it too close. Especially if you're looking to be picky. If you're looking for something wrong. Now, if you're looking for something right, it's okay to look at it. But how much of our life is spent, as Brother Darrell has already preached, not looking for what's right, but seeing everything that's wrong. And I'm telling you what, when you recognize that we have a friend, that you can look at His work from the very beginning of it to the very end of it, and you'll never see in His work one thing wrong, not one spot, one blemish. But the best of the craftsmen of this world, what man can do at his very best, is always going to have flaws in it and problems in it. That's why when you trust in man, when you trust in Egypt, when you trust in other things, you and I will never be happy or content. But when we're just, as Isaiah 30 said, just why didn't you stand still? My people, rather than going down to Egypt, should have, if they just would stand still, that would be their strength.
Somebody said, you mean stand still and do nothing? God's never called His children to do nothing. There's a lot of things He's called us to do. But I'm telling you, what He's doing, only He can do. And we're to wait on Him for what He would, what He does. And as we wait on Him, He will tell us what to do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And He's able to deliver us. This certain man made a great supper. Okay. My watch is broken, I think. Something's wrong with it. It's really not broken, Brother Junior. I'm aware of it. A certain man had made a great supper and he bade many. Listen. He called fishers. He called those who were fishers, the fish. And when he called them from the nets and he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He didn't say, you go make yourselves fishers of men. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he sent his servants out, and those servants are to go and preach the gospel. You know what we're to do? We're to tell you it's supper time. You know why it's supper time? Because Jesus Christ has come, and Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, and Jesus Christ died on the cross and took our sins and nailed them to the tree of the cross, never to be remembered us against us anymore. And in that work, He secured eternal heaven for when we die. And while we live, He came that we might have life, hear me, and have it what? Most abundantly. More abundantly. God's little children are going to enjoy every one of them without the loss of one, because He won't lose any that are His. We're not dependent upon us. We're dependent upon Him, and He'll have us in eternal heaven. But this blessing He's given us here in time, He's required from us. As much has been given, there's much required. He's required from us some obedience on our part. And sometimes you and I are just too busy to give Him the glory. Now, I'm not just talking to you. Don't think I'm just talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to Brother Darrell. I'm talking to everybody else in here. We sometimes get our eyes off of Him and get our eyes on the things of the world and try to figure it out some other way, go another course, or we figure, well, I can do that a little later. What I want us to say is not just be those who say that it's the most important thing, but that we live that it's the most important thing in our life to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You said more important than who? He said it was more important than your mom and daddy. He said if a man's going to follow me, he's going to have to hate his mother and his father and his son and his daughter and take up his cross and follow me. Now don't get confused about that, because the Word of God never tells us to hate our mother and father. One of the commandments is to honor thy father. And He's not teaching that. He's telling us that when it comes to the priorities, the number one priority in our life has to be the one who's given us life and every other blessing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. From Him all blessings flow. I'm afraid in my life there's many times I've given lip service to that, but when I look at my life and I see my actions, it shows something completely different. You know, I can't go back and fix any of that, because that's gone. You know, Jesus died on the cross for that, and it's done away. You know what that means for me today? Is I don't want to keep doing that. I want to do better. I want to look to Him. Do you think I'm going to ever get it perfect? No, sir. I will have enough mess in it at my very best. That's wrong with it. That also has to be covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't we owe Him our very best in making an effort to live, to honor, and praise Him? And sometimes we're like these others who, with one consent, we begin to make excuse. I got excuses. Seems like they're important things. He says, for come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. And listen to the first excuse he said. The first one said to me, unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. That's pretty typical of my excuses. How about you? He done already bought it. Now he's going to go look at it. You know, sometimes we go purchase something, we don't want to buy it first and then look at it. We want to look at it and then we buy it. And also he says, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Is it anything wrong with buying land? No. Is it anything wrong with using oxen? No. That's kind of silly to do it at supper time, though, when in the evening of the day you think you'd go in the light of the day. And it surely isn't something you ought to do. In the right order. But none of these things are wrong. What's the wrongness in here? It's supper time. Hear me? What's most important? Today, those, as we've gathered here, I believe the Lord has blessed us, and we don't want to take credit for one degree of that. No praise belongs to us ever. But we want to be thankful that the Lord has allowed us to see that this is the most important place to be right now, where God's little children have gathered together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You say, well, how do you think that? Because you've chosen to be here. Because if there was something else more important, you'd be there today. See this? He said, and another said, I have married a wife. And I'm going to leave that right there. And therefore I cannot come. He didn't even make excuse. You know what happens to us? Sometimes we get so cold and callous that we even stop making excuses. We just kind of want people to say, it's okay. That's life. That's the way it is. Suppose Jesus said, that's the way it is. That's life. Suppose he had not been committed to fulfill the will of the Father. Suppose he was like us. We'd be in trouble. Here's the good news. He wasn't like us. And because he lives, we ought to be different. He has made us different. We're to walk in that. We're to live that. You may sit there today, and I know as I preach these things and teach these things, I think to myself, oh, Gary, how far short you've fallen of doing this. And I'm telling you, if you've really seen and heard what I said this morning, you'll feel like that. If you don't feel like that, you're in trouble. Because when you can hear this and think, well, that applied to somebody else, I'm glad he told them that. You ever been in a meeting and you hear somebody preach something and you know somebody there really needs it? And you said, I'm sure glad he told them that. Do you suppose the Lord gave you that hearing so that you could say that? Or do you think he gave that hearing so you could hear it? We know the answer, don't we? This is for all of us. Is it so that we can go and be perfect? No. But we should let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. He loved you so much he died for you. Shouldn't we live for him? He gave us life. May the Lord bless us to do that better and better. So we don't miss supper. We won't miss our eternal supper. But I don't want us to miss a meal down here. I want you to get every meal. I want you to, because you're going to need it. Listen, what you hear today, you're going to need this week. This isn't just something coming from man. This is. If I'm a fisher, I am looking, I'm a fisher, been made a fisher of men. I am looking to the Lord to give me what I stand in need of. And when it comes from the Word, it's not just the man saying it. It's the authority of God's Word, and therefore we need that here in this world. I'm not done, but I'm going to stop. Y'all, some of y'all heard that before and I didn't, but I'm going to try to keep my word this time.
God bless you.
I love you, my brother.